Welcome to Campbell Bible Church Online. Let's turn together to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Now, last week we finished up our series on the Good Shepherd. And as I was looking ahead at some teachings through the gospel, I was reminded of a few things that I believe would be good for all of us to consider before moving forward. Now, it's important for us to note that Jesus was the architect of the church. Everything that we have in the scripture about the church comes from Jesus's design. Never think that the instructions that we have about the church or our Christian life is just some kind of hodgepodge of ideas from church history, because it's not. Now, the Christian life as well is patterned off of the life of Jesus Christ. Our desire is to live and be more like Him and to leave our own thoughts and our own desires behind. Now let's open with a word of prayer. Lord Heavenly Father, I pray for those who are listening online. I pray, Lord God, that you would encourage them, help them, strengthen them. I pray, Lord, that as I teach and as I speak, and as they listen, that you would use the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts through the power of discernment. Help us both to understand the text and help us to grow from this time in your word. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. Now, many times when we think about what it means to be a Christian, we think of ourselves off on our own, trying to spar with the devil and still succeed through Christ's strength. But did you know that God never meant for us to be alone in our fights? That's why Jesus designed the church, so that we would learn how to fight side by side, to encourage each other, and to intercede in prayer for each other. Now, here in Romans chapter 12, we are considering what it means to be not just an independent Christian, but a Christian together in this family called the church. And make note, when I talk about the church, I mean the Christian brothers and sisters that make up Jesus's design. Now let's begin today in verse 9. It says, "Let love be without hypocrisy." Now I want to pause here and begin by understanding the context of this love. Is this context of this passage talking about our relationship with a spouse, or is it referring to someone else? As we get further into the text, we'll see together that the Apostle Paul is directing us to love all people in this same manner, with an emphasis on other brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, consider that this love is how we should be doting on and considering those of us who gather together in the body of Christ. Now let's consider this word hypocrisy. Now the King James uses the word dissimulation. Now, regardless, the word meaning is the same. Hypocrisy is closer to the word structure that we would use in our language today, but let's dig even deeper. Now, when I dig into these words for a stronger meaning, I find several more that may bring more light to this verse. For instance, think about it this way. Let love be without deceit. Let love be without lying. Let love not be counterfeit. Let love not be fraudulent. Let love be without betrayal. Let love be straightforward. Let love be trustworthy. Let love be honest. Let love be sincere. Let love be real. Now look again with me at verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Now abhor means to regard something with disgust and hatred. But Paul isn't just talking about abstract things here in one sentence. In this sentence is really one thought. He isn't just saying love in general without hypocrisy and abhor in general what is evil. No, he's writing this out conversationally. Now, this would be like if you and I were having a chat about something. Say, the best place to get building supplies. Let's say that I say Home Depot is great for most anything, but really you want to stay away from their lumber section because it's not great quality. Now, this is one singular thought, all connected. Now, Paul says that love should be without sin. It should be real and genuine. And he goes on to say, abhor or have disgust and hatred for that hypocrisy, that deceit, that lying, that dishonesty, that insincerity, that leading someone on, that sin. But instead, cling to what is good. Instead, love straightforward, love trustingly, love honestly, love sincerely. Now think about that one verse with how you love and regard your other brothers and sisters in Christ. Do you love that way? Now I'm going to throw a wrench in here that some of you may not be expecting, but this love has to be so real that it does not change regardless of your location or the other people that are around you. Now, I've known many Christians who are one way when they're at church and a different way in the world and then a different way at home. It all depended on who they were around and their environment. Now, I guarantee that the Lord wants us to be the same person 24/7. Otherwise, we are what the Bible calls double-minded, which, by the way, is never encouraged as a good thing. In fact, James chapter 1 and verse 8 tells us that those who are double-minded are unstable in all their ways. Now, that means that this genuineness needs to be authentically genuine. Now, you may say, I already love that way. But I would take some time to consider this. Even take it to God and ask Him to reveal to you where you fall in this and ask Him to help strengthen your love for your brothers and sisters in Christ in this way. Now, are you ready for another wrench? This kind of love considers the absolute best in your other brothers and sisters in Christ. It also considers that they are loving you in the same way as you were taught to love them. Now, this kind of love never assumes that your brother or sister in Christ is lying to you or trying to deceive you in some way. Also, this kind of love is very forgiving because Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 says that we need to forgive each other just as Christ has forgiven us. Now, the world teaches us to assume the worst, but Jesus teaches us to assume the best. Now, how do you love? Do you love like Christ? Let's consider together verse 10. Be kindly affectionate one to another. Now let's pause here. Kindly is being warm-hearted, gentle, polite, concerned, sensitive, sympathetic, and tender-hearted, which again takes us back to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now, affectionate is readily feeling or showing fondness or tenderness. It's caring, tender, comforting, attentive, supportive, welcoming, friendly, cordial. Think about this. Can these things be said about you? And not just something that you would say about yourself, but would other people say this about you? Now let's continue in verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. Now, the love is being defined here. The kindly affectionateness of our love should be encased in brotherly love, which is towards all Christians. Back to verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Now, giving preference or preferring one another means that you choose your brothers and sisters in Christ over those who are not believers. Now, understand, this is how Jesus wants us to be thinking. He wants us to spend more time and more consideration towards our brothers and sisters in Christ than any other people. Now, this does impact our time, our finances, and our way of life. And again, this is not my design or Paul's design, but this is Jesus's design for his church. Now, let's consider verse 11. Not lagging in diligence. All right, we're going to pause right there. Not lagging in diligence. Again, context is everything. So we're talking about loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, giving them honor and preference, giving them our time, putting them first even. And then in verse 11, it says, not lagging in diligence. Now, this cannot be in context to life itself because it is in the same thought of loving our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, let me put it another way. Don't just encourage your brother or sisters in Christ one time and assume that you are caring for them in a loving manner. Don't just pray for them one time and assume you're good. Let's consider what Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, verses 30 through 31. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Now, did you catch that? Love God with your absolute everything. And then love your neighbor, which, by the way, is not your brother and sister in Christ, but love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, in the same manner as you love yourself. Now think about that for a moment. If we are supposed to give preference to each other, to our brothers and sisters in Christ, over the unsaved, even our own blood relatives, and to the unsaved, we are to love like we love ourselves. Now that means that we are to love each other even more than that. That means that I don't just pray once for you. I pray for you again and again and again. I don't just encourage you once. I keep on encouraging you. I don't just show up to church once. I make whatever sacrifice that I need to make in order to be here. Not just for myself, but for you. Our diligence in verse 11 is toward each other in Christ, and even encouraging each other in such a way that we compel each other to serve alongside of us for the cause of Christ. Let's go back to verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit. Now, fervent is having or displaying a passionate intensity. But that intensity is directed towards the Spirit. Now notice that Spirit is not capitalized in your Bible. That is because it is not talking about the Holy Spirit. It is talking about our will, even our emotions and our character. Now, do you have a passionate intensity for getting to know your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you have a passionate intensity for praying for them, for loving and caring for them, for encouraging them? Do you have a passionate intensity to serve alongside of them? Where do they rank on your list? Let's finish verse 11. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord is something that we should all be working on and working towards. And you know what is super cool? We get to serve the Lord hand in hand with our brothers and sisters in Christ, those that God has called us to give preference to and to love fervently. Let's consider verse 12. Rejoicing in hope. Okay, so we should be rejoicing in the hope of Jesus together. This should be at the forefront of our discussions as we encourage each other, as we talk with each other. It is the one thing that we have in common that we fall back on. The hope of Jesus. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Now think about that for a moment. Patient in tribulation is not just regarding your own tribulation, but the tribulation of your brother and sister in Christ. Now think about it. We may pray once or twice for a brother or sister in Christ when they're going through a trial or circumstance, but some people get impatient when the trial doesn't close after a short time. Now I mean that my brother or sister in Christ are impatient that my trial is still continuing to go. They are impatient. I mean, if anyone should be impatient, it should be me. But they, at times, are impatient. They are the ones who are supporting me in prayer and helping me as I move on. And many times, our brothers and sisters in Christ will get impatient when our own trials are going on too long, and they deem it, maybe they justify in their mind and say, well, if they're doing it the right way, they'd be done with this trial already, and they move on to other people to pray for instead of praying for the people they should be praying for. And we need to be careful that we are not switching on to someone else because we are justifying in our minds what our brother and sister in Christ is not doing right. Instead, we need to be patient with the Lord as He takes our brothers and sisters through tribulation, and we need to continue praying for them and encouraging them through this duration of time. Now be very careful that this is not you. How do you pray for your brother and sister in Christ? How do you cultivate your own lifestyle in order to make time and make the effort and sacrifice to walk with your brother and sister in Christ through their trials together? Look again with me in verse 12. And rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Now continuing, so not stopping. Steadfastly, which means resolutely or dutifully firm and unwavering in prayer. Now think about that for a moment. In regards to everything else that we've been talking about, the Apostle Paul is shaping for us an authentic relationship and showing us even what that relationship should look like and how it should work between brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I've talked with many Christians who, when I asked them about a very specific prayer request that they were entrusted with to pray, they don't remember. They don't even have any thought about who or what the situation was. Now, to me, that is so incredibly disheartening. And it also displays what their relationship really is with that other brother and sister in Christ. Now, on a side note, Jesus named us brothers and sisters in order to show this close-knit bond that we are to have with each other in the family of Christ. He didn't refer to us as neighbors, nor did He refer to us as friends or even acquaintances, but brothers and sisters. Now, this tracks back to what we discussed last week. Do you identify first as a Christian Or do you identify first as your own family name? Now, I don't know about you, but last Sunday when God brought Neil to our fellowship, I started to pray for him, for his surgery and for his healing and for his relationship with Christ. And I continued to pray night and day. And even after Tuesday, after his surgery, I have continued to pray. I have not forgotten. And this is the kind of relationship that Jesus has called us to have within the church. We need to love each other sincerely and pray for each other fervently. Now, if we even look at the life of the Apostle Paul, we can see at the close of Corinthians, and we can see in his different letters how he praised different groups of people who prayed for him and who continued to encourage him all throughout his ministry. These people didn't say 3 months later, you know, hey, Paul, your trial's going on way too long. I realize you're out there preaching and so on, but I'm getting tired of praying for you and I want to move on to someone else. Nobody said that. People continued to pray for him and encourage him. And you'll find in the end of his letters, little notations of certain people who went above and beyond as a brother or sister in Christ to care for him. Now, when you look at those things, those lists are not long. They are short. But consider that in your own life. How can you be a help and an encouragement to your own brothers and sisters in Christ? Now let's continue in verse 13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Now I know that the Catholic Church has all of these rules for who can enter into sainthood, but the reality is that when we see the text refer to saints, it is talking about gospel believers. Now, you may have not known that you were a saint, but if you are a genuine follower of Christ, you are a saint. Now, notice that we are to distribute to the needs of each other, other brothers and sisters in Christ, and we should be generous with each other, working to help each other, and even provide for each other sacrificially. Now, I know that this is foreign. The world teaches to provide for you and only you and your family. You give through your taxes to pay for other needful things. But Jesus is giving us a very different picture here as to how we should be considering each other. Look with me at verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Now, this is from outside the church. We should even come together and bless those who persecute us. In other words, turn the other cheek, as Jesus says. Do not give them hostility, but instead pray for them and be generous to them. Now look with me at verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Now, as we come together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, do you rejoice with those who are rejoicing about what God has done in their lives or is doing? Or do you just look at them and wonder why God isn't doing the same thing in your own life? Now, sometimes we consider rejoicing to be hostile or even unfair because we don't have the same things that they have. And yet we need to take our brother or sister's hand and rejoice with them in what God is doing. We need to cry with them when they are going through terrible times. When was the last time you cried with your brother or sister? Even in prayer for them. Now, if we really are taking on their burdens and interceding on their behalf in prayer, we should not be stoic. If we are impassioned with our burden for each other, we should be able to laugh with each other, to rejoice with each other, to praise God with each other, and to weep with each other. All right, last verse. Look with me at verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Now, we should be on the same page, so to speak. We should all have the goal of serving Christ, of honoring him in all things, and in loving and caring for each other. You should not be thinking in opposition to these things as your brother and sister in Christ are thinking rightly as the Bible teaches. Now, for those who are thinking on their own, in their own way, your relationship with your brother and sister in Christ will never reach its full potential, and it will never reach where Jesus has intended for it to be. We have to do this life together. Jesus meant for us to do this life together. If God has called you here to this church with these brothers and sisters in Christ, then He meant for you to live this life together with us and fervently love each other, caring for each other, and helping each other. This is significantly different than what the world teaches. But this kind of relationship can change all of us if we are working on living as Christ intended. Now let's stop there today. I don't want to take us on any further because there's a lot here to think about and unpack. And I think there's many things for us to be praying about just from this little bit that I've given to you. I would encourage you to go back and read through this text again and again. Look at it from the perspective, this isn't just about you and how you're feeling and how you're thinking and what tribulation you're going through. This is about your other brothers and sisters in Christ. How do you love them? How do you connect with them, both verbally and mentally? How do you connect with them? How do you encourage them? How do you help them? Are you thinking about them through the week? How are you loving them as Christ teaches us to love each other? There are a great many things that we do and that we're supposed to be doing that is contrary to the world's teaching. Let me encourage you today, think about how to love and care for your brother and sister in Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, Heavenly Father, thank you for this teaching in Romans chapter 12. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to have a better understanding and really dig deep to consider how to love and care for our other brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, help us to really get there on the next level and not just think about it in a kind of an education student way, but to think about it in a way that we are so impassioned to see Christ change and help our other brothers and sisters in Christ, that we are burdened with their trials, that we are burdened with their tribulations, that we bring it before you in prayer and that we intercede on their behalf, and that it changes our hearts, that we cry with each other as we need to cry. We weep as there is weeping. We rejoice as there is rejoicing, Lord. Let this relationship be real and help us not to be afraid to have these relationships. Lord, so many of us are broken because we have been burned by other relationships in the past that it's hard for us to have these relationships again, and yet you command us to do these things, to pour ourselves out to each other so that we can be an encouragement and a help and can intercede for each other in prayer. Help our relationship with each other to be real, next level real. I thank you for all these things, Lord Jesus. In your name I pray these things. Amen. Hey, thanks for joining our digital connection today. I hope to see all of you next week as we gather together for fellowship around the scripture.